Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.
Say goodbye to restrictive weight loss methods and hello to Iveem, the number one prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s curb cravings, stabilize blood sugar, increase energy, and balance A1C levels to regulate your body and kickstart your weight loss journey. Iveem is committed to making medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and customized, because we believe that's how it should be. Sign up for free and get 20% off our accessibility programs.
Introducing Peptide Vite. It's the first daily natural vitamin to help support a reduction in the major side effects of GLP-1s. Peptide Vite supports fatigue, nausea, GI side effects, and promotes better metabolism. It is third-party tested, made in the USA, in a FDA-certified facility. Peptide Vite is a game-changer all-in-one daily supplement. Pharmacist and physician formulated to be safe and effective. Use code PLUS20 for 20% off at zennutrients.com.
It's time for a change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
Any trouble navigating coping skills in your life where you use food, alcohol, or other drugs, shopping, gambling, sex, or if you are obese and you're wondering what medical solutions are available to you, or if you have children that are overweight and you're wondering what to do about it, I highly recommend that you listen to my new podcast, The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracey. I've lost 165 pounds over the last 16 months, and it's been an emotional journey more than anything. Easy Way Out started as a podcast about whether or not I should have weight loss surgery to handle my chronic obesity, but it ended up in places I did not expect. My personal favorite episode is Shut Up Fatty, and it's with my daughter and my son, who are now adults, and we covered what it was like for them to grow up in a fat family and how I handled the fact that they were overweight and what I could have done better as their mom. You'll be tearing up one second and cracking up the next. You can find The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracey anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome to the Plus Size Podcast.
Hi.
How are you?
I haven't talked to you on this medium in a little while.
I know, because we took a break from the holidays. And like, it's weird.
I feel like Frosty the Snowman. Happy birthday.
It's going to be like, I hope, riding a bike, getting back into it for season three. But I'm not going to lie. I feel super awkward.
Oh, really? Oh, no, it's fine.
I'm so used to, like, I feel like I just like focus a lot on TikToks.
Yeah.
Because we had the viral TikTok and, just like replying to videos for that and all of these and just managing that. And I feel like I've just been behind my phone and so it's kind of weird being at the computer again. It's not going to lie. But for people that don't know us, we should probably tell people who we are. So my name is Kim and this is the Plus Size Podcast, if you don't know. And we're born out of a TikTok trend turned movement. And we are trying to let more people know that struggle with the disease of obesity, that they are not alone, that it is not their fault, and that there are medications and treatments for them now. And we're just trying to help people and share education with them, you know? And it seems to be working because we're on the third season now. Yay!
Right. Chisel away at that obesity bias.
Yes. Per the name, DMF Kim on Manjaro, I take Manjaro, which is also Zepbound, which has launched. Oh my gosh, Zepbound launched this is new. This is like our first episode where we're going to talk about Zepbound.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So that launched last month. It is now January. That's crazy. And I have lost at this point 99 pounds, which is bizarre. Amazing. It's bizarre, Kat. It's bizarre. Like it's amazing and I'm thankful. As a matter of fact, for me, it's more the health stuff than it is anything else. It's the physical and the mental health stuff that matters more than anything. But it is bizarre because this is the size I was in high school. That is bizarre. I'm 44. So that's crazy. But the health is good. And that's what matters. The mental, physical.
It is. 100%. That's all that matters. Yeah.
So that's who I am and what I do. And this is the podcast. So Kat, what about you? Who are you? What you
doing? Hey, I'm Kat. Kat Carter. You can find me on TikTok. Kat Carter 7. I am a Libra. I'm just kidding. I'm a Libra. I say this all the time. I'm so cheap.
Hey, technically it's been a while, so.
Yeah. But I am on Manjaro. I have been saying it correctly, not like a good old Midwesterner.
Why? I like the old way.
You want to say Manjaro?
I've been taking Manjaro. I love it. I love the old way. Don't like change Manjaro. Things.
Yes. I know. You know what? Speaking of Midwesterners, I have got hooked on Charlie Behrens, who is a comedian. He's from Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Does he say
his Midwestern comedy is just, the Midwest nice jokes. And okay. I feel like, yeah, not everybody gets the humor, but I laugh at it. I think it's
sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
But anyway, but on Manjaro, I liken myself with this plus size group to be the fitty. I love my fitness classes. I love my spin classes. I love my weights. I like to sweat and throw the weights around. Throw them around.
I want to see that. I want to see you throw some weight. I'm not gonna lie.
No. I've been using a lot of bands. Have not lost as much, but I do want to highlight over this last year. So I've lost 68 pounds and give or take 1 or 2 pounds here and there. But I only lost 8 pounds in the year 2023. However, I dropped between 2 to 3 pant sizes. So it goes without saying that people like to think that if we're on a GLP-1, it's this skinny shot and we're taking the easy way out. I bust my hump.
And, yeah, you do.
And the weight is not melting all the way off per se, but the inches, yeah. I know what it is from fitness, it is from putting on muscle, but it goes without saying, it's not a skinny shot. It's not a slam dunk. No. we're putting in the work.
I'm not skinny. I'm still plus size.
Right. Me too.
Plus size. Yep. Wow.
So I'm really that's my story.
Good story. Good story. I like it. I just want you to know that as a New Year's resolution this year, for the first time, instead of saying like, I'm going to lose weight, you know what I did? I said, I'm going to add in strength training. I got me a kettlebell. I did. I'm proud that's of amazing. Myself. And I got some resistance bands. Now they just got here. I'll let you know how it goes. I might need videos or help because I don't know what I'm doing.
Bands are great.
I'm getting weak and I don't like that. So,
bands are great. Bands are great. And you can travel with them. I'm going to, I think I'm going to not get weights anymore. Not in the house, bands.
No bands in the house or no weights?
No, I mean the other way around. I have bands in the house, but not weights.
Okay. So. Got it. Okay. Yep. Anyway, so today we are actually going to have Dr. Joy back with us. If you guys remember from season 2, maybe it was 1. I don't know. I don't know. Dr. Joy was with us and
we've been busy.
Right? Dr. Joy lost, I want to say 100 pounds, or we'll get her to ask more in a minute, but on Mounjaro. And then she also went and had bariatric surgery after that. And it was just such an interesting story. And it was the night before her surgery.
It was.
Yeah. And she came on to the addiction episode with Brenda, which is an amazing episode. If you have not watched it, go watch it. The amount of aha moments in our faces dropping, you and me especially, like, you know. So go back and watch that. But without further ado, we have 2 special guests today. It's going to be more of a roundtable discussion. It might be weird, but I have an editor.
I doubt
so we're
it.
Just going to. We're just gonna
go with the flow. It's gonna be great. We're gonna learn a lot.
It's the first time back. Like a bike. Let's do this. Okay, let's invite in our guest. Dr. Joy.
Hi.
Hi. Let me get in Crystal too. Hello there. How are you, Crystal?
Doing well. Thank you.
We're so glad to have you.
Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Yes. Dr. Joy, could you tell us a little bit about yourself other than like the like super high level I just said, just so if people haven't seen the addiction episode, they kind of know, you know.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me back. I did really enjoy, it was such a special thing for me to be the night before my gastric bypass to be speaking with you all about my process. And it helped bring everything into focus for me. And it was just a really peaceful, wonderful night. Yeah, so I am, first of all, I'm a licensed professional counselor. I am on social media and in retreats and workshops and coaching. I do teach people self-love, mindfulness, and building a relationship with themselves. I have spent 25 years working in the addiction field as an addictions counselor and as a CEO of a nonprofit addictions treatment facility and mental health facility, where we help people who can't afford to pay for such things. So for me, this whole process of addressing my own obesity with the tools that are available to me has really been intertwined with my knowledge and experience of the addiction field and growing up in a home with addiction. So it's very layered. I started taking Mounjaro in September of 2022. And in 11 months, almost exactly, I lost 100 pounds exactly.
Wow.
The morning of my gastric bypass on August 23rd, 2023, I had lost exactly 100 pounds.
Wow.
Yes. And since August 23rd, I've lost 61 more pounds. So,
oh my gosh.
Wow. I'll be honest. I always focus on how much I've lost and not what I weigh, but I'm a size 10 now. And I started out as a size 26.
Wow.
Yeah. And so my life smaller. Has changed drastically, like multiple times a day. I do something and I think I could have never done this before.
Yeah.
Weight loss. And I want to highlight that one of the reasons why I wanted to have gastric bypass after having so much success with Mounjaro was that I began having at the higher doses skin reactions to the injection. And I became very fearful that I would not be able to stay on the medication. My allergic reactions tend to get worse over time. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, I'm back on Mounjaro. Only 4 months post-op, I take 5 milligrams once every 2 weeks or so, mostly to help with cravings and inflammation. I just felt better on the medicine. And so, and now at first I was having the skin reactions, but now they're gone, I'm happy to say. So that's sort of the spin, is that it's a full circle thing. Mounjaro is part of the equation for me.
That's awesome.
For life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. Thank you so much for that quick intro. We'll definitely come back and talk a little bit more. Hey, Crystal. Yeah. Tell me about who you are. Why are you here? How do you help people? Tell us.
Well, I'm here because Dr. Joy told me about it, and I was super excited. So she's the one that got me here. I am a licensed clinical professional counselor in Kansas, and then I also provide services in Missouri. And my telehealth therapist, so I work with my dog in my lap. It's the best job ever. But I love working with people on self-worth, getting to a life they want to live. When I work with patients who weight loss is a goal for them, I only have two categories. Can you do everything you want in life, or can you not?
Yeah. Right?
And I want to get everyone into the place where they can do whatever they want. If they want to sit in a seat at a concert, if they want to walk a mile hike, if they want, like, what is your life look like? We don't talk about numbers. We don't talk about BMI. We don't talk about any of that. It's just, can you do what you want? If not, let's get you there. Right.
Yeah.
I also have a niche where I work with religious trauma, and I work with people who are healing from narcissistic abuse. So I kind of have a little bit of a theme, but it's amazing how a lot of this stuff is intertwined. So
for sure.
It really is. Yeah.
And then my own journey, I had bariatric surgery in September of 2022. I've lost 80 pounds and maintained. I wish I would have done it 20 years ago. I'm 46. I wish I would have done it a long time ago. So, I think it's a wonderful tool, and I think the GLP-1s are a wonderful tool. I think it's just whatever you feel comfortable with your body. And very glad to be here talking to people about
that's awesome.
Getting their life back. However,
Absolutely.
That is for sure what we focus on here. So one of the reasons that we started this was because when everything was happening with the media turning us all, this is before Weight Watchers got in the game, right? That they were just pitting us against each other. And man, I'm telling you, the minute Weight Watchers got in the game, the narrative changed just like that overnight. And the problem is, though, is that still they were taking these videos of us, a lot of us on TikTok, hiding, blurring out our bellies and showing us giving injections and just like completely just making us a spectacle, right? And we have so many of us, especially with me, and it's very appropriate to both of you, the mental health piece for me and this has been incredible. And I just was so upset about it. And many, many people were, because we felt like they were trivializing our experiences, right? And exploiting them in a way. And so we just were like, we need a voice. We need a voice. And we're just going to try to get as loud as we can. We have no idea where it's going to go, but it seems to be working. I mean, we're blowing up, and it's just crazy. It's just us and this little scrappy podcast. So we're just trying to talk about things that matter. We talk about everything from side effects, right, to the good, the bad, risk, and all those things. Like, we just let it all hang out. So don't be afraid while you guys are here. And I think Dr. Jay Noyes, that we can be emotional and all those things, because people need to hear it. There's so many people out there, especially I think those who have struggled with obesity. It's just a marginalized community. It really is. And we're all just really, really hurting in a lot of ways and trying to heal, and being able to hear somebody stand up for us, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So I'm just so thankful that you guys are here. And especially as we're trying to like get our bearings back, because we haven't really done this in a couple months. backstory, another one, I had lap band surgery. So I had lap band surgery in 2007, which is a type of bariatric surgery. And I lost maybe like 70 pounds or so. And then eventually I gained it back after I had a couple of miscarriages and then had my son, and then it wouldn't move it anymore. And then I've lost 99 on GLP-1s. I've taken several because of shortages. And then Just recently, before all this started happening, my lap band slipped and I had to have surgery and have it removed. So we've been gone for quite a while from recording because I couldn't sit up without fainting. And it was just like very dramatic. But I'm still don't regret my surgery. I still don't regret it. Even after that, I still don't. I don't know if I would have gotten to a place at that moment. And then going back to like talking about being able to do the things that you want to do. Right. I really wanted to be a mother, you know? Yeah. And so I don't know if my body would have gotten to a place with what I had available to me in 2007 to get there, you know? So I'm still really glad that I did it, even though eventually I had to have it removed and it slipped and it caused me all these issues, you know? So I think going back to the tools and the tool belt, it's just great. It's great to be able to have all these options finally, not have it just be surgery or just be medicine. And a lot of the doctors we've had on too are talking about combining the two, like what Dr. Joy is doing, like especially even the bariatric surgeons. They're, I think, realizing at the end of the day too, like I may have to eventually have a sleeve or gastric bypass. I've had obesity forever. I can't even think. Like I remember having binge eating when I was 8. That was when it started. And being on a diet, Weight Watchers with my mom, like over a rice cake, drizzling chocolate sauce, just trying to get something that would taste good to us, you know, at 8 years old and staying within our points because I was pointing with my mom. You know what I'm saying? And that perpetual behavior continued the rest of my life and thinking that I was, you know, a failure in all of those different things because it started so young. And we had that happen with many people in our community. You know, so I think that it's important for us to talk about all of those things. And I think you guys are the perfect people to do it. So I'm so glad to have you. Yeah. Back to Dr. Joy. I know you were talking about kind of this process and this journey and where you are now. I'm wondering, and I know you were kind of through this and we talked about last time that you were doing this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is? Because obviously the people watching our podcast like podcasts about this subject. So they're always looking for more information.
It's great. I got hooked on it this weekend.
Oh, thank you. I really, you know, I put it out into the world. As you know, podcasts are, there's a lot of them. And they're usually not a big financial benefit or anything, but there is this motivation to have the story out there, to have people hear their experience reflected in the media and to be told and to be truthful about the experience of being obese. So as I started the medication, the whole time I was considering bariatric surgery and I started losing weight and having success with Mounjaro. So I kind of went back and forth, whether I should do this, do I need the surgery, whatever. And a friend of mine said, you need to be doing a podcast about this. And so I did. And it started out as a podcast about whether to have bariatric surgery. And I really, it became about something different. I think the truth of life in a 337-pound body took center stage. Crystal was one of my guests for 2 episodes, and it was like a big therapy session about what leads a person to develop on the emotional side. We know that obesity is a biological disease that has biological solutions, but there is the emotional piece that cannot be ignored. And
yes,
on the podcast, I have my daughter. We talk about, with 2 of my adult children, we talk about what it was like for them to grow up in a chubby family because they were overweight as children. And I was overweight and always trying to lose weight. And my daughter was my mini me. And here I was always trying to lose weight. And we talked very honestly about the impact that that had on them. And it was an incredibly difficult conversation, but I feel so important. I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard a family talk about, like adult children talk about what it was like growing up in a fat family, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then of course my daughter is also really hilarious. So there's some real, she is good for the comedic relief,
but the podcast
definitely ended up in places I didn't expect.
I understand
why you turn to food in the first place, turning your back on your own feelings and your own truth in favor of like comforting yourself with food so that you can make everyone else more comfortable, for example, or you know, what it's like to be in an obese body and to have the shame associated with emotional eating or food addiction or binge eating. And then what it's like to lose weight. I was really afraid to lose weight. I've got to be honest. Like, one of the big surprising things that I uncovered was that I felt safer in the world in a 337 pound body. I felt safe from literal, like, just safety on the streets. And really facing that, Crystal helped me a lot with that. And also letting go of my plus size identity. Like, I had a pang. I've got to be honest. Like, I already am getting emotional, but when you said I'm still plus size, I thought, like it's going to sound crazy to people who are not larger. I know that, but I know there are people out there who will understand.
Like, I understand. I'm terrified.
But when I left size 14, I was like, oh no, like, that's it. Like, what, like, am I now? Who am I?
Yeah. I understand.
I always say, like, I like being a plus size fitty. I like being a little soft around the edges. I just went down to a 12 this year and I was like, what do I do now? And some of my friends say, well, maybe, you know, is it your self-esteem? You're not shooting for more. I'm like, no, I like the way I look now. I think I'm starting to get there too. Like, do I?
I'm terrified. I'm terrified, Dr. Yeah. Joy. And that feeling that you just described, like, I'm so scared because that 12, right? That's not really plus size anymore, right? I was a 12 in middle school. So so obviously, like, a 12 in middle school is plus size, right? Because I'm like adult women clothes, right? So I got to a place, because I've always been big, where I began to accept and identify as a larger human and being okay with that. And I had a different experience with my mother. My mother is, for sure, I would say, like, straight size. Maybe she struggled with 20 pounds here or there, but not a skinny person, but not just like average, nice and lovely and average, you know? And whenever I would get down on myself in any way, she would not allow it. She would go, you listen to me. She wouldn't let me. She would not allow it. So I know she did it right, I think. So I began to be like, all right, I'm awesome, right? I'm okay in this body. What's going to happen when it disconnects? I don't even know. I've always been like this.
Oh my gosh.
My mind is reeling, and like, I'm going to buy clothes and I'm this close. And I find myself thinking, I could go eat some fast food.
Yeah. There's a donut store not that far from here. Come on now.
You know, it happens.
Know if you remember the beautiful advice on the podcast that you gave me about this. But what Crystal said about this to me was life-changing. And I really felt, after my conversation with her on the podcast, free to have the surgery and to lose weight without these fears. What she told me was, and I'll give you a brief quote and then you can expound, Crystal.
Yeah. Okay.
But Crystal told me that our identity changes throughout life. When I was a single person, I didn't identify as a wife. And then I became a wife and I wasn't a mom. I didn't identify that way. And then I became a mother. And now being a mother is central to my identity. Now my children are, almost all of them are adults. And so my identity around what kind of a mom am I is changing. And our identity is constantly changing. And so now I am not a plus size person. I'm finding out what that means for my life. And there are drawbacks to losing that. There are drawbacks and there are lots of benefits. And you have to choose your hard. And I'll be Joy 4.0 right now. And then in my, you know, I just turned 49 Friday. And 49. I'll be in my
50s. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'll be in my 50s soon and I'll be Joy 5.0. You know, my identity doesn't, just because I've always identified that way, it doesn't mean it defines me or that I've lost it. That is still part of my identity. Yeah. It's just not the one that's in front right now. And Crystal, I just want to tell you how much that changed my life. Your advice.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. It is interesting, I think, when we look at our life as an evolution and not just, I want to get back to a certain weight, size, whatever. Because I don't want to. I want to take all of my experiences and I want to be me now. The best me now with with all of the lessons and the battle scars that I have.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, I just was thinking about, you know, in general, the way it feels to think about my life. And I remember never, a skinny Kim doesn't exist. In the history of me, there is nothing else. So it's, I can't conceive, right? So it's different, like, when it's different, right? When you're like, when you used to be small. And so you think about that language about, I can't wait till I get back, or I'm trying to get back. I don't have a back.
Yeah.
I don't have it. And I'm in this path now where I just remember always wanting to go there, but I was never the girl that always wanted to be skinny. I just wanted to fit in my jeans and feel comfortable and feel nice and feel cute. That's how I felt. And so, but it's crazy to think, like, I literally in this moment cannot conceive of what I could look like in a month,
right?
Like a month. And it's very hard to wrap my head around that. The mental piece of this is so intense, and that therapy is very important. Boy, have I ever learned that. Good Lord. But it is. I actually don't think enough of our community have access to it, you know, because it's just so hard to reconcile, you know? And I don't, it does seem like it's certainly not something where, you know, you hear a moment and you have a moment and it just sticks with you and you're fine. It's almost like you have to continually to tell yourself these things that, like, you 4.0 and you 5.0 is okay, you know? But it is like,
sorry, I also really liked what Kat said about, like, I like myself right now.
Yeah.
I like being this iteration of
I do.
Right. Because I think I did a crazy weight loss thing before I had my surgery, lost a whole lot of weight, actually got skinnier than I liked. And I didn't like my body. I didn't like how it sagged. I didn't like how it wasn't, you know, and I right now am heavier than I was then, but I don't want to be lighter. Like, I like me now. And I think that's a mental liking myself and a physical liking myself. But I just love that you said that. Like, I feel
good. A lot of growth.
Yeah. I think a lot about, and I'm curious how you guys feel about the surgery, like with skin. I never really, I remember thinking if I ever lost weight, I wouldn't get skin removal surgery, but I've never lost this much before. And it's a lot. And then I also think to myself, well, maybe this is where I found myself kind of wishing that this is where my body stops. You know, a lot of times they say with the medication or even with the surgery, like, you hit a point and that's it. Right. And you may lose an extra 5 or 10 or something like that, but that's probably it for you. And I keep thinking about that because, like, I'm still plus size, right? Like, I'm still a large human. There is still lots of fat there. It's in the way of the skin. It's still there, but it's very everywhere now, right? Like, at least before it was kind of like formed.
She said very everywhere.
Now it's like
the skin, accepting the skin is different. It's a different kind of challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you do that? Are you guys, I'm really curious if you guys made decisions around that. Is that something that you thought about doing or did do?
I'm excited that we're talking about this because I haven't really had the opportunity. No, I haven't thought about talking about it, but I think it's good.
We can definitely not.
No, I think it's good because, so I am very doughy, right? I have doughy, like, lines and stripes where they were not before. I was full and voluptuous. And now I'm like, what is this? Because there's no going back. Let me just tell you. So I was an athlete and very thin up until about like right after high school. I had body dysmorphia, so I always identified as a fat girl. Like, I know I say that word.
It's okay. Tongue in cheek.
There's no going back. I've had 4 children. My body does not look remotely like the last time I wore a pair of size 10 jeans. Okay.
Yeah.
And I debate this, like, having the skin removal, I feel like that's a whole thing for me. Like, do I just accept this? It is causing some issues for me. So I think there's some health reason to get rid of it. But it is interesting. I do mirror work with it. I don't know, Crystal, what you've tried, but, and this is going to sound cheesy and it's personal, but
not for this audience.
It's worth it. But I will stand in the mirror and I squeeze it and I press on it and I explore it and I look at my new body and recognize that it's changing very quickly because I've lost 61 pounds in 4 months. Like that's very fast. Yes. And 161 pounds in a year and 2 months. Mm-hmm. Or three now, a year and 3 months. But I try to like get familiar with it as it's changing and say, okay, like this is now how my arms look and my arms are so strong and they help me do so much throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And this is just how they look. This isn't who I am. Mm-hmm. For me, that's been a big part of it is just looking at it and really focusing on the positives of what my body is doing for me. And actually like, it does feel kind of neat. Like the skin, the softness is a little familiar because I'm used to being fluffy. So I try to get in touch with the positive and just to be in myself. And I'll share that one of my favorite things about weight loss so far that was completely unexpected is that as a plus size person with, I mean, I was a 44H or something. I mean, big busted. I thought like hugs are never going to be the same. I loved hugging with my big giant bosom and my big fluffy arms. And I just felt like I was so comforting and soft. But you know what? Now when I hug a person, I'm actually heart to heart with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's goodness. So cool.
There is no layer of anything between my heart and their heart. And there's a closeness and an energy transfer that I was never aware could exist. And that's just one of the many discoveries. It's like there's something that I lost with the hug and something beautiful that I've gained that I didn't expect. And I think that is the way that I look at the skin. It's like, what can I gain by embracing this version of me?
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. My son was really concerned when I was losing weight. So he's 11. So it was a year and a half ago. So and a half, that's right. Maths. He was like, but mommy, I don't want your tummy to go away. What would I lay on and cuddle on? And I was like, well, it'll still be mommy. It'll just be a little flatter. He's like, I don't like flatter.
No. In the podcast, I took my son and I had the exact same conversation, and he's also 11. He's like, mom, it's really neat. I can fit my arms around you, but don't lose any more weight.
Because he can't conceive of you anywhere different either, right? No, like,
As far as my experience with the skin removal, like I said, prior to surgery, I did a very unhealthy weight loss regimen, and I went from 350 to 175. I lost half my body weight in 13 months. And after that, I had 10 pounds of skin removed from my abdomen. I had the paniculectomy, the apron removal, tummy tuck, and muscle repair. And then I had some regain. And then I had bariatric surgery. So I have, after bariatric surgery, that was hard for me to say. I still have extra skin on my arms, extra skin other places, my legs, but I don't want to mess with that. Like what I felt like when I had the other skin, I was having rashes and I was having adverse skin.
Yeah.
That, so where it was covered, I was fortunate enough to have it covered. But I saw it as like a snake sheds its skin. I felt like that's what I was doing was like, okay, I don't need this to carry this anymore. Right. And it all of those adverse reactions cleared up. I was lucky. I didn't have any skin issues anymore. So I saw that as a luxury that I was afforded because my skin just did not take well to having so much of it. So I do have that in my background. But like I said, if I got really critical or I could say, okay, oh, my arm's here, my turkey neck, you know, like I could pinpoint and say, oh, I'd like to have that. I don't want to do anything else.
Yeah. Interesting. I can kind of relate with that in terms of my arms because my arms have always been big. I think I'd almost just rather leave them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but I remember being in middle school and when I would raise my hand, I would not raise it higher than this. And that I remember making that decision, like being like, if I raise it higher, they can see my flabby arm, you know? And so literally to this day, this is how I raise my hand.
Right. You know what I mean? High.
Now I'm going to raise it. I'm going to shake my arms.
And one thing too that helped me do is also that was 40 pounds less than I weigh now. I didn't like the way my body looked. I was melting or something, right? So I would rather be 40 pounds heavier than that, have a chest, have a booty, have some hips, than look emaciated and 10 years older.
Yes.
Trust me.
And
so I, like I said, it's really about finding a place of self-acceptance. Yeah. In a body that you can do what you want to be able to do in.
Yeah. I think for me, like, I think about that too, but maybe that'll change as I go to my next 5.0. I don't know, but I keep thinking that the tummy and that being in the way of when you were talking in the beginning of like helping people get to do the things they want to do. Right. And I have all these like adventures that I have in my head that I want to be able to do. Right. And I'm like, I feel like that would impede it, you know? Sure. You know, but I had this thing. So like when I started this journey, I was like, I want to swim with dolphins. That was my like goal. You have to be 250 to swim with dolphins. You can't be in, that's the max amount, right?
It's 250.
Like 250. So you have to, that's anything more than that, it can hurt the dolphin. So they won't do anything more than that's a 250. So here I was rolling like I was 347. So I knew I really wanted to get, so I'm there now. So it's like, I just very much wanted to like, I actually, what am I now? I don't know. Who cares? Anyway, but that's what I wanted to do because that number mattered to me because I want to swim with dolphins. It's like a dream to want to do it. And I bet once I do it, I'll be like, what was that? It was stinky. It smells like fish. But I really want to try. I really do. Like I see people do it like in like Cancun and stuff. And so I have all these like these going and doing things, right? That I want to be able to do without pain. And those are the things that I dream about, you know? And I was never like that before. I really gave up. I really did, you know?
That's amazing. Yeah. I never thought of like an actual goal to do because I'm kind of I'm silly. So I used to always say my goal is to fit my ass in an airplane seat without spilling over. Yeah, but then I would say, I'm really into fitness ass.
right. Yeah.
So now I can, I gotta get myself another goal. Yours is like sexy, Kim, like swim with dolphins.
The dolphins?
I'm not sure if I would do that, but I gotta think of something. You know,
that reminds me of my TikTok series, The 100 Reasons to Lose Over 100 Pounds That Have Nothing to Do with Diet, Culture, and Beauty Standards.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't know that there was a 250 pound weight limit for swimming with dolphins. But let me tell you, the 250 pound weight limit, it seems to be the spot, like with ladders, like all kinds of activities that were on my list. 250 was
sometimes water slides and rides.
I'm still blown away. Like some exercise equipment sometimes has a cap at 250. I'm like, that defeats, but yeah.
Oh,
I'll get on a tangent.
In general, are not more than 250 pounds. Our society punishes larger people, and there's a lot behind that. You know, the fat phobia that creates this problem that you can't just go and do in a 337 or 347 pound body.
Yeah.
Not our fault. Also, let's just put a pin in that.
Yes.
Like bodies should be acceptable at all sizes because we're all human beings and deserving of fun and adventure and whatever our bodies are capable of doing, because you can certainly be a person who is active at 337 pounds. I personally, at my age, had gotten to where there was a lot of pain involved in movement for me. But for a long time, I was fine. I was very active and, you know, bigger but active and, you know, doing a lot of things, but held back because of society.
Yes.
I also think for me, one of the biggest things was being a consideration. And the way I say that is like, let's say my husband and I are at a Kansas City Chiefs football game. We have to park far away. He was going to have to walk slower. He was going to have to take a lot of breaks because I needed to be considered. I couldn't walk so far. I couldn't walk as fast. I could, you know, we can't sit at that table in the restaurant. We'll need a bigger table, or we can't sit in that little booth, or we can't sit at that bistro chair. Being that, the consideration aspect for me was so hard. And it was like I want to be able to not have to be considered. I want to be just normal normal is the wrong word.
No, I think it's the right word.
Like, I just don't want it to be a factor in our life. Mm-hmm. My weight hold us back in any way, right? And to me, that was one of the main driving forces for the surgery.
Yeah, for sure. I totally can relate with that. I think I got so used to it that I never really thought about it. And I've always been big. Right. Mm-hmm. But I remember as I continued to climb. And then once I got like to the threes, you know, I remember seeing like looking at a chair in a conference room. Right. The ones that were a little more wiry and being like, am I going to break that?
Right.
Right. And just praying that I wouldn't be that person. Right. Mm-hmm. And first of all, they should rethink that. Like, stop making chairs only for small humans. Quit it.
Yes.
This is America. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obesity, 30% of America. Hello. So, mm-hmm. you know, like but in general, that kind of stuff mm-hmm. is something that I think stays with us. And like, it's kind of fun because my husband and I are both on Mounjaro. So my husband did not deal with obesity until I would say later in life. Mm-hmm. He was always could eat whatever he wanted and bean pole. And it wasn't until later in life that it started kind of catching up with him. And then our son seems to be like on that side, like very lean, can eat whatever he wants kind of thing. And then there's me, who's always been big, 10-pound baby, you know, just a larger human. So we're kind of experiencing this together, like restaurants, like and sit down for dinner and we'll go look at the table, we'll go, look at the difference. You know, like look at the distance. Oh, and he's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, you know, or we'll mm-hmm. look at the food and we'll be like, we can't fit in that. We'll sit down and we have just swimming, tons of room. We could like have a party, you know, mm-hmm. and that's kind of cool to experience with him. You know, because I do think that even he had to, because he's very tall and very big, like he could mm-hmm. do a lot of the things that like, as I continue to gain weight, like I really couldn't, you know, and I think he was just sort of built to handle the weight a little bit better because he's 6'3", you know, mm-hmm. and so he could kind of keep going and he did have to always be like, I'll be like, well, I can't walk that far. My knee this and my knee that, you know, mm-hmm. And that was a big thing, and it still is for us. But it is nice to experience it together. Yeah. You know, yeah.
It made me think of so you know, my life of I've always loved fitness. I remember I ran a half marathon when I was 29, a long time ago. But I was 240, 245. I ran that half marathon. I was always like trying to and to prove like fitness wise, like.
Yeah.
Well, first off, I enjoyed it, but, and I think back then we were really deep into diet culture. A friend of mine, we were both kind of heavy. So we really didn't do it for the right reasons, but looking back on it now, I'm glad I did. I will never run a half marathon ever again. But, So yeah, the whole notion of being active or not active. Yeah.
It's a lot. I think, I feel like I'm a very active human, but I find that finding time, I'm wondering how you guys feel about this too. Like finding time to exercise has been very difficult since I have three jobs. And it's been very hard. So like, I started doing like, this is my year of my New Year's resolution being I'm going to get fit and lose weight instead of it's just I'm going to build some strength, right? I'm going to do some strength building and that's just my focus. I'm not going to kill myself to do it. I've done everything with this journey has been very progressive and slow for me and it's worked for the first time ever. So I'm going to like keep doing that. So now it's time to build some stuff up, you know? So I'm hoping that will go well. But like, it's about kind of trying to find to incorporate it, but the amount of like judgment that I get for being on one of these medications and not talking about being super fit and being in the gym 6 days a week and all of these different things blows my mind. Do y'all get any of that? Have you guys gotten any of that? Because now you guys are both on the internets, right? So what do you get?
For me, I remember this, it was a tough night. I was at a holiday party for work and with people that didn't know me. And they began making fun of a 300 plus pound person. And they didn't know that I had been recently a 300 plus pound person. The person wasn't there. She was relaying a story of an airplane situation. And they were all like, oh man, that's the worst. Ha ha. You know? And I'm just like, people are worse than I knew, you know? And I remember that. And that same night, the one person who did know me, when I said, yeah, he said, you look great. And I said, thanks. You know, that I've lost, you know, however many pounds it was at that time. And he said, oh, how are you doing it? You're doing it the right way, aren't you? And I said, oh, is there a wrong way? And
that was a good answer.
They were like, oh, I was like, yeah, no. I mean, so I kind of shut that stuff down. I have managed to learn to love working out. But I give myself a lot of grace. I did not work out today. I just wasn't feeling it. I was doing some self-care. I needed to nest. And that's what my body was asking me for. So I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So nothing obsessive, either with diet or exercise. But yeah, people definitely make those judgments and want to see you. I think people want to see us suffering. For
they
being
do.
Sad. Like, you're supposed to suffer. You're supposed to be at the gym suffering like the rest of us. You know, like. Yeah.
But don't be at the gym because I don't want to watch you work out.
I want to watch you.
Right.
You know, I don't want to see you. Then.
God forbid.
And the fitness equipment we make won't be able to support your weight anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like, I'm just now at the weight where most things I would be able to fit in. Like, I would hit the bare max. Like, of course people don't want to go. Like, of course they don't, you know? It's crazy. And you have to go to, like, and you have to be on the industrialized size thing, and everybody knows, like, it's just the whole mental thing of it. For me, it's always been really, really difficult. Now I am very active. Like, I'm up and about all the time, all the places in the land, but is there, like, me standing at a treadmill and stuff? No, there's not. Like, I it's interesting. I don't really have the mental capacity or, like, energy for it. So I'm like, okay, how do I solve for this and still stay within my, like, mental safe space of not feeling like I need to put myself back there? Because again, like, this journey for me has been since the beginning of Kim, right? So I have been the, you eat 1,000 calories a day, you're in the gym, you know, 6 days a week. And if you can't lose weight and keep it off, it's your fault and you are fat and lazy. And that narrative lives rent free. You know? And so I still work to try to get away from that. And so I keep trying to find ways that I feel like I'm actually getting the physical activity, and therefore my heart is working better. And I feel like I'm up and moving. And lately it's been cleaning, which, if you knew me before, you'd be like, what? And I find that what I'm doing is, and this sounds crazy, but, like, I'm putting my phone down. And I, even though my brain keeps trying to tell me to go back to my phone to do all the jobs in the land, I don't do it. I just clean. It's always, like, just the kitchen and the dishes and the floors. And then when I'm done, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so much better.
That's a workout.
It is a workout. That's what I'm saying. So I don't think I have to fit into a box of being in a gym and this many, whatever. And it's good for my brain. It's what Kat always talks about how the mental piece of exercising for her is even more important to her than the actual physical piece of it. Mm-hmm. You know, she talks about that a lot on the show. Kat, do you want to talk about that?
I'm a nicer person. My husband, you know what? It's funny we say that. My husband told me, it was New Year's Eve weekend. I said to my husband, you know, I don't think I'm going to work out tomorrow. And he was like, the hell you're not. He's like, you've gone 2 days without a workout. You are grumpy. Yeah.
Oh, it's a thing.
Honestly, that's what I was going to mention about mine. I have a treadmill in my very small bedroom because I swore I'd use it. And
sure.
Haven't been. But I think what really came home for me is I need it for my seasonal affective disorder. I need it for my winter blues. I'm able to move my body. And so that was more of my New Year's, like, lean is move every day for your mental health, not necessarily sure. because you said you would when you had the surgery or whatever.
Yeah.
So I haven't yet, but I promise you guys I will.
Okay. Well, I'm not the accountability kind of person, so I'm not going to ask.
No.
Right.
But if that's what you need.
You know? I'm thinking, like, I know it got me through, a lot of grieving in the last couple of, like, a few years ago. Yeah, I just would just go ride and just sweat and cry.
Writing things. Yeah. Did you have, like, a place where you could do that that was private, or did you go to, like, class?
I was in class, but it's so loud. It's a cycle bar, so it's a theater, and it's loud and it lights. And so when you're in the back, you know, I got a little teary, but then I would just go to my car and weep and then go home. But I feel
it's just a purge, it really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how you can hold on to all that. So Kat's talked about on the show before she lost her dad. My dad's very ill. So we connect a lot on that. But it is sometimes it gets to be so much, and you just keep moving forward and moving forward, and it just like builds up, you know. It's a lot, and that exercise piece is key. We had Rebecca on our show, which Dr. Drew, you may know Rebecca because she's good friends with you. Do okay. And Rebecca talks a lot about how like she has to have it, and that she whenever, I mean, she was like, where are those, like, you know, I never thought those people were kind of nuts. I'm not gonna lie, don't Rebecca, don't be mad, but all those exercises she was doing was like 35 hard and like, you know, all those things are like super intense. Oh, yeah. Like she always did those things, but she was like, she loved them. Right. Mm-hmm. But still when she would go to the doctor, they would always be like, you're Van Lazy, exercise more. And she's like, I bust my ass at the 35, whatever you call it, hard. I don't know.
It's like 75 hard. I couldn't keep up with it.
Yes. I don't know. But she's like that though. And she says all the time, like, I don't, now when I do it, I'm only doing it for me. Like, she's like, I don't do it at all anymore for anything else, you know, about the weight or anything. I'm only there for like my mental peace, you know. I hope I can get there. This is the first time I've ever felt it. And I hate cleaning. So it's very, very weird that it happened, but it may be my thing, my gradual thing that I've been doing as I've been evolving, you know? Yeah.
It's time for a change rooted in lasting evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today. Say goodbye to restrictive weight loss methods and hello to Iveem, the number one prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s curb cravings, stabilize blood sugar, increase energy, and balance A1C levels to regulate your body and kickstart your weight loss journey. Iveem is committed to making medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and customized because we believe that's how it should be. Sign up for free and get 20% off our accessibility programs.
Introducing Peptide Bite. It's the first daily natural vitamin to help support a reduction in the major side effects of GLP-1s. Peptide Bite supports fatigue, nausea, GI side effects, and promotes better metabolism. It is third-party tested, made in the USA, in a FDA-certified facility. Peptide Bite is a game-changer all-in-one daily supplement. Pharmacist and physician formulated to be safe and effective. Use code PLUS20 for 20% off at zennutrients.com.
It's time for a change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program. A nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
You interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on the Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.